The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, this week in our series on disinformation on the web, we're talking about Elon Musk and anarchy in the UK, Tommy Robinson taking a holiday in Cyprus on an Irish passport, and the fake news about the Algerian female boxer. We're joined by David Robert Grimes, author of The Irrational Ape, How Flawed Logic Puts It All at Risk. David, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, this standoff between Sir Keir Starmer and Elon Musk, and I mean his lack of understanding as to what the UK is really like.
Well, here's the thing. He has no interest in understanding it. Again, just to put in context for listeners, most social media platforms were inundated with false claims after Southport last week. Most of them took them down. Elon Musk on X, the artist formerly known as Twitter, absolutely refused to, despite the fact that Ofcom are going to have regulatory power in the UK to enforce this stuff. And instead of taking down patently false information, began a war of words with Keir Starmer and also started spreading what we call racist dog whistles about two-tier policing. So this shows you someone that has no interest in understanding the situation, who literally is enjoying being an edgelord or standing on a soapbox. And it's a very unedifying spectacle, but it shows you the richest man in the world has zero concern for the accuracy of information on his platform.
I mean, you can look to press barons of the past who exercised huge amounts of information when daily papers were sold in many more millions than they are now. Yeah. And they exercised that kind of control because they did influence their editors.
Absolutely. I mean, you could bring up ideas of yellow journalism or whatever else into that. And indeed, he's a modern, less dignified version of that, to put it this way. Yeah. This is not the actions of an intelligent or reflective individual. This is entirely reactionary and also drives engagement. So we've seen that when Elon Musk mentioned or repeated falsehoods about the riots in the UK, the engagement that was absolutely massive. He is a huge figure and he has a massive fan base. And the metrics of that, the Financial Times report on during the week, every time he mentioned it, he amplified incredible fringe figures to huge audiences. That is not accidental, I feel.
He is more powerful then than many heads of state.
Absolutely. He's got massive wealth. He's bought this platform, which allows him to use it as a vehicle for whichever. If you criticize Elon Musk, by the way, on X, you can be shadow banned. He's a proponent of free speech. He claims to be, except if it's free speech he doesn't like. But most of us aren't multi-billionaires and can't just buy our own platforms.
He's been told that he should be aware that you don't have a First Amendment there's no constitution in the UK, as we know. We have a constitution. But the right to free speech, to say what you like, that does not exist.
We have to differentiate between free speech and freedom of consequences from speech, right? Free speech means, and I need to clarify this, means the government can't arrest you for what you think, right? That's all it means. It doesn't mean people have to listen to it. It doesn't mean you get a right to say it wherever you want. If you go out there and say racist or terrible stuff, people have every right to use their free speech to think that you're an idiot and they don't want to deal with you. Right, that's how free speech works. What people like Musk frame free speech as is basically that you can't stop them from saying what they want. Well, maybe you can't, but we should be able to say, well, that's absolutely false and there are consequences for you saying that. This is the bit of the equation they don't seem to get, the responsibility that comes with free speech.
Yeah. Now, last night, obviously social media can have a beneficial effect because huge crowds marshalled for anti-racist gatherings and protests. And they probably could not have been marshalled without using social media.
So at the same time, would they have had to be marshalled if we didn't have...
I know, but I'm saying that when you need a flash mob on, if you like, the right side of the affair, it's easier to do using social media.
So true. So communication tools are just that. They're tools. It's how they are used which decides their impact. And that's why we're going back to Musk. He uses it for net negative all the time. So that is why it's so damaging. Tools are kind of, they don't have, it's your usage entirely decides whether they're going to be beneficial or detrimental to society. Social media in theory could be entirely positive. It's just the fact that bad actors can very easily leverage it. And we also have a human bias, a negativity bias towards information that outrages us, that inflames us, that upsets us. And bad actors have known and disinformation spreaders have known for years. All you have to do is sound the dog whistle and you will you can bypass people's critical thinking and get straight to the outrage, the anger, and what we saw in the UK and Belfast, indeed, and to another extent in Dublin back in November.
It may be a bit too early to know what the impact of last night's counter-gatherings will have on people like Nigel Farage.
So Nigel Farage, as the joke is Tommy Robinson in a cravat. What he was doing this week was he was claiming, when he was challenged on spreading disinformation, what he said was, I got it from Andrew Tate, another well-known spreader. But here's the thing, never taking responsibility and always diffusing, you sound the dog whistle and claim and wash your hands of it and say, I didn't do anything. Here's the thing about responsible usage. Never share information unless you have verified it independently. And this is a rule not just for members of parliament, but should be for all of us. If you see something online and you don't know the veracity of it, particularly if it makes you angry, don't share it. And by the way, what he did was, which is, I think, a very cheap rhetorical technique. It's called begging the question. He went, some people are saying that. Now, that's a classic begging the question, by the way, in the proper usage is, when did you stop beating your wife? It's a premise that is already has a conclusion in the argument, and it makes people have to jump. But if you don't know, you can't just say, I'm asking a question. If you're asking it in bad faith, you're lying.
So, I mean, as a source of information about the provenance of an individual and getting that information from Andrew Tate, that's not exactly compelling.
That wouldn't be compelling. And also, even if Andrew Tate was a reliable quote-unquote source, it would still be the duty of a member of parliament who should be held to a higher standard to independently verify that rather than just retweet something racist they had seen. It just so happens that Nigel Farage only ever shares information that already is his confirmation bias. He already sounds racist dog whistles all the time. He never accidentally shares something saying that immigrants are actually good, does he? He only shares stuff that will be red meat to his audience. And we have to see, we can't pretend that's good faith. That is bad faith acting. It is begging the question. There's an acronym for it, JAQing, just asking questions off, sometimes called jacking off in American terms. And it is because it's such a bad faith technique that bad actors use it all the time. So him saying, I was just asking the question. No, you weren't. You were posing something and pretending it was a question when you were challenged on it.
Now, the Algerian boxer controversy where misinformation was definitely put out there. Where did that all come from? Where did it stem from?
So the genesis of that is harder to pin down, but obviously there's certain topics in society that are very inflammatory and bad actors know that. So for example, transgender people in women's sports is always a controversial area and people have lots of views on this. This particular boxer, Evan Khalif, was not transgender, was a woman. And yet very quickly, when she won her fight, there was people online, rapidly, including Elon Musk, rapidly jumping to, and Logan Paul and Jake Paul, big influencers, that this is a travesty, that this is a transgender woman who they called a man beating up a woman. Now, that was patently untrue, actually dangerous for an Algerian woman to be accused of that for a variety of historical reasons. But there was no attempt to verify that fact. That was an attempt to inflame. And the reason that went online so quick is that it already finds a fissure point, a fracture point in society where people have strong opinions.
Where there is a genuine argument in
100%.
Some sports.
And it's the same with immigration. There's genuine conversations that people might have about integration. But what bad actors do, and I'm using the term bad actors a lot today, I know, is that they try to inflame existing tensions. So that came out instantaneously with the idea that it would radicalize, polarize people into groups and have people shouting at each other online. And this is what it's always about. It's always about the attention economy and manipulating people's attention and their feelings about a topic. So instead of having nuanced, productive conversations, we have two sides screaming at each other from opposite poles, and it's just not productive.
Now, we have in Ireland, in sport, and we've used it many times, the grandfather rule or the grandparent rule, where you can get someone to play for Ireland. Who was born heaven knows where, but who has an antecedent. And one Tommy Robinson has exploited that particular facility.
So Tommy Robinson, who's obviously been in the news a lot, by the way, his misinformation tweets, disinformation, I should say, after Southport last week have been viewed 434 million times, according to the Centre for Countering Digital Hate, right? This is a huge amount on X, I should point out. He's actually born Stephen Yaxley Lennon to two Irish parents. He is an Irish citizen. When he was arrested in Canada recently, his citizenship was recorded as Irish. He's one of the ones that we don't want to claim if he ever won something, But this is, we have a grandfathering rule, obviously, on passports as well. So he has every right to an Irish citizenship, but it's slightly unedifying and embarrassing for us that that's the case.
You wonder whether there should be an extra category, you know, whether or not you can deem someone is morally appropriate to carry an Irish passport.
It's also interesting that he plays that card up a little bit. Now, Nigel Farage, by the way, has a German passport. So this is, you know, anti-EU Nigel Farage has this. But here's the thing about it. I've lived in the UK. A lot of your listeners have probably lived there for a while. And there used to be in the EDL supporting people like Tommy Robinson would have been very anti-Irish. So it is a bit strange and a bit of hypocrisy that they'll suddenly turn around and go, when it suits them, they're Irish. The same way Nigel Farage, when it suits him, is German, and the DUP up north could claim their Irish passports when it suited them. There is a staggering moral hypocrisy in that.
All right. On that note, David Robert Grimes, author of The Irrational Ape, How Flawed Logic Puts It All at Risk. David, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.